بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we are reading from the kitab إصلاح المعاملات, correction of monetary dealings, that a person's financial dealings, monetary dealings should be correct and should be within the confines of Sharia. So a person's income, his rozi is halal, pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he does not destroy his akhirat, his dunya, by impermissible haram income and sustenance. So we had discussed some time ago incorrect practices during business, taking false oaths to sell goods, which is not permissible. A person who sells goods based upon false oaths, he will destroy the barakah and the blessings in his sustenance. Deception and breach of trust, also impermissible. Concealing of faults. Then we come to number four, dealing in stolen goods. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever purchases stolen goods, knowing that it is stolen, is given an equal share of the sin committed and the shame. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever purchases and by stolen goods, knowing that it is stolen, is given an equal share of the sin committed and the shame. So in regards to stolen goods, we find the warning of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. The person is certain and he knows that these goods are stolen goods. And today we find in the marketplace is very common, stolen goods. Whether cell phones, computers, gadgets, whatever it may be, is very, very common nowadays. And we can gauge on the price also. Doesn't look right. So regards to the masla point of view, if a person is certain that these goods are stolen, then it will be impermissible, haram for him to purchase those goods. He has proof and he's certain, looking at the price, the person's character also, where he's getting the goods from, he has no invoice, no receipt, no proof of purchase. So a person has certainty more than doubt, then it's impermissible for him to buy those goods, it's haram for him to buy those goods. And the simple reason is that a person cannot sell something which doesn't belong to him. It belongs to somebody else, somebody else's property that he is selling, it's not permissible. So as mentioned, whether it's cell phone, whether it's some computers, whether it's vehicles also. And this has become a big industry, stolen goods. So a person has certainty that this goods does not belong to the seller, then it's haram for him to buy it and to resell it. If he has a doubt, is uncertain, could be stolen, or it could be not stolen, has a doubt, then the best is da' ma yuribuk. Leave out that which puts you in doubt. Puts you in doubt, leave it out. Don't try it out, leave it out. So in this case also, you should be careful, but then too he has to buy it from him. Is doubtful goods, then that sale will be makruh. Be disliked by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Because there's some doubt in it. And if a person has no doubt, he's confident that these goods are above board, he's not stolen, then it's permissible. He can purchase the goods, he can sell it. So stolen goods are not permissible for a person dealing stolen goods. And the environment sometimes becomes such that a person gets involved, what you say, in minor sins so to say. But even the ummah right now doesn't even know what is minor, what is major. Major sins have become minor, and minor has become no sin. So the ummah also has become such a level right now to understand what is major and minor, there's no tawbah made also from sins anymore. Because we don't regard this action as a sin anymore. Whether it be the male, whether it be the females. So there's a whole different discussion altogether. But we hear commonly people will say, nothing serious, the government who is stealing. So much of stealing is taking place, so what's the problem? That's to do with the government. Your hisab kitab is not with the government. Your accountability is by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Whether we will get caught or he won't get caught by government or by SARS or the authorities, etc. But the main authority is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is still all aware what a person is dealing in right now. So there a person should be careful. He might feel now nothing major. Everybody is doing it. So what's the big deal in it? This is a big deal. Minor sins, the Thani Rahimullah has mentioned in regards to minor sins. A person might feel is something not major, is minor, not serious. But as we say in the spiritual world, that neki ko kinchte hai. that a good deed pulls a good deed. The same way an evil deed pulls an evil deed. Person engages in little a'mal. He says Durood Sharif 10 times a day. He heard the reward. 10 times Durood Sharif in the morning. Nabi alayhi salatu salam says, I will intercede for you in the day of Qiyamah. Only 10 times. From 10 he will go to 20. Then he will go to 30. And he will begin to increase it. In the same way, when it comes to sin, minor sins, you might feel is minor. But a beautiful example, as the Talmud gives Rahmatul Ali, a person is wearing a white garb, white kurta, and he's walking in a place where there's water or there's mud. He'll be very careful. He'll be very careful how he's walking. Even the little dots, you can say spots of mud, mustn't come on my clothing. But he doesn't care about it. He'll run in the mud, doesn't worry. He says it's only small, small drops only. Small, small spots of mud will come on my clothes. Nothing major. But the small spots continue walking in the mud, not being careful, the small dots and spots of mud becomes a stain thereafter. Put them all together, the garment becomes dirty, now he won't wear it anymore. The same way the minor sins, you might think it's minor, nothing major. I'll just do it for now. But buying that one small item which is stolen, then a bigger one will come, and then a bigger deal will come. What became minor, now became major, and his sustenance was halal, then he became makruh, now he became haram. Doesn't feel the pain anymore. And now I'm dealing in stolen goods, and to him now, unfortunately, because the heart becomes so black, that with a deeny flavor also, when the stolen goods will come, and it's coming now nearly every week, that person now who's stealing the goods, he's found a person that will buy it from him. So now he's servicing him every week. I've got stuff for you. Will you? Do you want? Are you interested? And you say, Alhamdulillah, what a luck. Sir, Alhamdulillah is Astaghfirullah. How can I get involved? But he'll thank Allah Tabar for haram goods. Because now, the nafs has become immunized. He's put anesthetic ointment on the nafs. Doesn't feel the pain anymore. Haram goods, impermissible. And he found a way how to crack it open, how to work around it. Whether it's blocked, he'll unblock it also. And he'll sell it in the marketplace. And before he knows it, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that person who got the sin for stealing the goods, you'll be an equal thief. You'll be an equal thief with him also. He stole something and he sold it. It didn't belong to him. You purchased something from someone that didn't belong to him, you're also a thief. The whole thing, who does he belong to? Didn't belong to the original seller. He sold it to you, which is haram. You purchased it from somebody that didn't belong to him. So that also makes you a thief. Because you knew it didn't belong to him. But if you came to know thereafter, these were stolen goods, what is the masla now? Then the masla is, you try to find the original owner to the best of your ability. You find out, contact this person, really, where's the receipt, where you got it from, where's the owner, where does he live, and you can see it's a bit shady. You try to the best of your ability, and make dua to Allah Tabarak, Ya Allah, I have these goods in my possession, doesn't belong to me, Ya Allah, you replace it with halal sustenance, and how Allah will make a deal, how Allah Ta'ala will make it happen, through iman and taqwa, how Allah Ta'ala will open the way, when it comes to sustenance, وَيْتَسْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا, there's two ingredients, sabr and taqwa. Person is patient, Allah will open the way. And he fears Allah, he is conscious of Allah in his marketplace also. My Allah is all aware of what is happening right now. With taqwa and sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely open the way. Just one quick example, we mentioned quite a few times already, we'll just mention it also. That a person had the sabr and taqwa. Business went down, temptation is there. And haram also is very tempting and all is freely available. When you find those businesses that are booming, are usually those products that are haram, not permissible. There's no barakat in it. So this person also, business went down. And he had his last savings left. They say 21,000 riyals he had savings left. So he made mashwara with the family. Things became very difficult. The last savings we have left, we've got rental to pay, we've got maintenance, we've got kharcha, expenditure. What do we do? So he found an advert in the paper. There's an auction. Property for sale. Let me go for the auction. Maybe Allah Ta'ala give barakat in it. How much sabr? You are making my family, my wife, parents also. So make sabr, have taqwa. He went for the auction. property went for sale. Auctioneer went and he says, beautiful property, 16. So he put his hand up. Somebody else also bidded, 18. Put his hand up. Somebody also bidded, came to 20. Somebody also bidded, 21. Thinking to himself, making dua, ya Allah. What do I do? He says, 21. I'll pay 21. Deal was concluded. Went to the auctioneer, signed the papers. I'll do the transfer of the money, 21. So I do it by tonight. Tomorrow I can pick up the papers. Went home that night, about to do the deal, etc. Gives a phone call from the auctioneer. Somebody came through and they offered 25. But I told the person, property sold already for 21. So I offer you 25. You auctioneer can keep 21 and give him 4. So he phoned the person. Are you happy with this transaction? I'll sell it to the person for 21. And I'll give you 4. This is no problem. Barakat. What I went for, Allah Ta'ala gave me 4. When he went the next day to conclude the deal, so the auctioneer says, I have your parcel of money. We can take it. The papers, whatever it is, we can conclude the deal. And when he saw the parcel of money, he said, how much is here? He says, 4 million. He says, 4 million? He says, what did you think? He says, the property was 21,000. He says, no, 21 million. He says, subhanAllah. I was bidding for 21,000. And you're talking in millions. Allah Ta'ala gave him a deal. 21 million that person paid. 4 million profit he made. Taqwa and sabr. So little bit Allah Ta'ala will test a person. The stolen goods will come. I can make a deal over here. Taqwa and sabr. Fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, a little bit of patience, where Allah will send it from, how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will see, will send it. So a person now, he realizes his stolen goods, then he must look for the original owner to the best of his ability. And if it's is that possible, cannot find the person, then the masla is, if that person himself is not a zakat recipient, then he must give these goods to a zakat recipient, distribute it amongst the fuqara and the poor people. This would be the correct thing to do. At the same time, he should try to look for that person also stole the goods. Advise him also and try to return the goods as soon as possible. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand. SubhanAllah.